a bookstore for a nickel. It was one of those Moody Cole Portage books on the book of Jude, and it's called The Acts of the Apostates. And boy, that was a great little book. But now I'm not going to preach a doctrinal message this morning. I want to call your attention rather to something else. I don't know why I'm in Jude. We're supposed to be in Revelation chapter 3. I was working on Jude for something else. Revelation chapter 3. I'll tell you that truth. After 30 plus years preaching, they all get run together to me. Somebody will say, "Didn't you just preach on so-and-so?" Probably. "Do you remember it?" Not a chance in this world. People say, "Well, you said so-and-so." I hope I didn't. Not the way you said it. But I don't know for sure. But anyway, this morning we're going to actually be in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible said, "And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty to preach, grace to preach, wisdom to preach, power to preach, desire to preach. And Lord, with all of that, I pray that you give us hearers that want to hear, that have open ears and open minds and open understanding. And may the Spirit of God enlighten us. And may the Word of God be quick and powerful and do a work in us. We'll thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I feel like I probably need to preface this message with a couple of comments. Don't get offended. I want to talk to you this morning about the dead. And now, we've all lost loved ones. I've lost a mother and a brother and some grandmothers. My wife has lost her mother, her dad, two sisters in the last 4 or 5 years. Brother Steve just lost a sister. And so I know the personal tragedy and the agony of someone dying. It's just an awful, awful time to have to go through. It's a terrible, terrible thing to have to deal with. And so, nothing I'm going to say this morning about the dead is personal, and I'm not making fun or making light of death or dying. I want to bring a message on the dead in regards to Christianity and spiritual condition and spiritual works. And so, I just use the dead because there's some things there that are tremendous parallels to our spiritual apathy. Okay, so don't get offended that the preacher got in the pulpit and made light of death and dying. I'm not doing that, even though I may have some fun with it. I understand that personally, when it involves you or your loved ones, it is a personal tragedy. Okay, now, having said that, death is about as natural a part of life as getting born. From the day that you're conceived, you are on the road to death. And nothing short of the rapture of the church will prevent that. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so you and I ought to be familiar with death. We ought to be able to talk about death. I know a lot of folks that they say, "Oh, it's just so morbid." Well, not unless you make it morbid. It's part of life. We bring a child into the world and we spend the next 12 to 16 years educating it, preparing it for life. Right? We teach it, we train it, we nurture it, we get it all. But we never prepare it to die. And so, because we've never talked about it and it's never been discussed and people don't have any assurance of where they're going or what's going to happen when they die, they're terrified. Just terrified. And we should not be terrified of death. We ought to talk about it. We ought to look at it. We ought to be able to embrace it. It is our destiny. It is our future. Sooner or later, it will come to pass, and they will say about each of us, "And he died." Amen? And so, I think from a Christian perspective, we shouldn't be quite so morbid about it. We ought to be a little more free to talk about it. We ought to anticipate that the day is coming. Having said all that, I want to give you 7 or 8 things about the dead that are good parallels for things about spiritual dead. And if ever there was a time when the church was filled to overflowing with the dead, it's today. And when I get through, I hope that you'll realize and understand why I said that. Now, let me give you some things about the dead. Sometimes being around dead folks is kind of funny. It's humorous. Now, it must be, stop and think about it for a minute. Every time you go to the funeral home and you're waiting for the service to begin, there's always a group that's standing outside under the oak tree, smoking, coking, and joking. Amen? You can hear more jokes at a graveside, at a funeral home, than any place in the world. I don't know what it is. Everybody goes down there and they're supposed to be sad and forlorn and their face is down and their spirits are crushed and it's just a terrible, terrible time. But everybody's standing out there with one of them pell-mell red cigarettes between their fingers, telling jokes and laughing, cutting it up. And then they go in that building and all of a sudden, a veil comes across their face. Oh, God! Oh, how am I going to make it? Oh, how could this happen? I just wasn't ready for Aunt Hattie to move on. I ain't seen her in 17 years. People are wacky, you know. I don't know what it is. You can be outside that building. You can be totally irreverent. You can be preoccupied with everything that's going on in your life, but you walk through that magic door and it is mandatory sadness, sorrow, and grief. And old Aunt Hattie stands there by the casket for the last time and reaches down and touches Aunt Thelma's hand and it's cold and clammy. And as soon as she touches it, she has a spell. And two or three have to rush up and hold her 300-pound body off the floor. I've been going to these things for years. I watch stuff, you know. Watch this little old man. His wife was laying in the casket and they'd been very close. It was so sad. He stood there and had a person on each side of him because they was afraid he'd fall out. And the old fellow stood there and put his hand in the casket, took his wife's little hand and just rubbed it. And he didn't say a word. Tears just ran down his face. The look on his face, and those tears said everything. He missed her. But most of the time, there's just all kind of foolishness going on down at the graveyard. Amen? I got to be careful. Some of y'all will be offended. But if you watch what goes on at cemetery, at funeral homes and graveyards, that would offend you. It's amazing what little respect some folks have for the dead. They just sneak around and do it. But I don't know why it's supposed to be so morbid all the time. If they're saved by God's grace and washed in the blood of the Lamb and on their way to the city, they've gone home. Now, why are you so sad about somebody going home? Amen? I hear folks all the time say, oh, we weren't ready for them to go and we miss them. And how could God do this? Well, God did them a favor. If they're saved by God's grace, their race is over. Their battles are won. There's no more temptation of the flesh. There's no more resisting the devil. There's no more heartache and pain and sorrow. I mean, they're up in glory. Amen? Why are you so upset about God for doing them a favor? When I go, don't get upset. And somebody said, who in the name of heaven would have got upset when you go? My wife. Amen? She'll have nobody to bring her chocolate. Now, I want to talk to you about the dead. I've been watching them for years, and I tell you what, you can learn a lot from dead folks. They say, well, the dead folks can't say anything. Oh, they said a lot to me. I've got a lot of information from dead folks. Sometimes the dead who don't say anything say more and say it better than the living. For example, did you ever think about this? The dead don't see anything. I mean, they don't see anything. Now, one of the first things that goes when you die is your eye. I was down at a veterinary place here not too long ago, a year or so ago, and they were putting doggies to sleep. I enjoyed that. And they were sticking that needle right between its little toesies, you know. And the dog was laying there looking up, his big brown eyes softly looking at the guy who's fixing to kill it, and trustingly. And the guy sticks that little needle in there and squeezes. And all of a sudden, I watched that dog's eyes. They just glazed over. The life just went out of them. When you die, one of the first things that's destroyed, one of the most delicate parts of your body is that eyeball. And you can tell when you look in somebody's eye if there's life in it or no. Even when they're in a coma, there's life in the eye. But when life leaves the body, the eye dead. They see nothing. You can walk over the corpse and wave your hand in front of them. They don't blink. They don't bat an eye. They see nothing. The dead have lost their ability to see. I thought, Lord, that says a lot to me. You know why? Well, it's just like dead Christians. So why? They don't see nothing. You get up and say, you ought to live godly. You ought to live separated. You ought to dress right. You ought to go to right. They say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I get up and preach on it's a sin to drink alcoholic beverage. You ought not to drink any wine, beer, ale, porter, none of that stuff. If it's got hooch in it, if it's got booze in it, you ought to leave it alone. Amen? And some moron back there, waxing eloquent, wants to be a deacon in the church. He's a big shot theologian, knows his Bible, and he said, I don't see nothing wrong with it. That's because you're dead. You can't see. Amen? Somebody said, what about abortion? Some folks just can't see. Some Christians just can't see that that's wrong. You got a sight problem. Amen? You can't see nothing. The dead can't see. One of the signs of a dead Christian is no matter what you preach on, they never can. They just never can see it. I don't see nothing wrong with it. Well, open your eyes, stupid. The rest of the world will see something wrong with it. Even, I've seen a lot of times unsaved people see things better than some Christians. They're not near as dead as some Christians are. Just can't see a doggone thing. Talk about women ought to dress modestly and not flaunt their body and reveal themselves. They ought to be careful of the kind of tops they wear and how long their bottoms are and how fitted they are. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I just dress to be attractive. Well, bless God, you ought not to be so attractive. Amen? So when you're too attractive, you attract all the eyes in the place. Amen? Well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. That's because you can't see. You're just blind as a bat. You may be dead and not know it. Amen? It's amazing how many dead folks up walking around. Not only that, the dead can't see anything. The dead can't say anything. Years ago, I was working for a heat and air conditioning company up in Norfolk, Virginia. It was a company that was owned by a black fella. And everybody there was black but me. I was the only white guy. Now, you want to be a minority, I'd try that sometime. And I had this little black boy for a helper. And the city had passed a new ordinance. You had to put backflow preventers in all the water systems. So all the funeral homes in town had to go buy these. It's a thing so that you can't suck water back down the pipe into the city sewer system. It's a protective device. And so we're going back retrofitting. We're going to all the funeral homes putting these things in. And so one day we're over at this great big black funeral home down in Portsmouth, Virginia. And this little guy, I mean, he is scared to death of funeral homes. He's scared to death of dead folks. He don't like to talk about graveyards. He don't want to go in the funeral home. I mean, he just they just have a phobia about death and dying. Well, he had to go in there because he's my helper. And so where we had to work was in the embalming room. That's the most critical place in there because that's where they suck all the junk out of you. And so I'm down on there's a table behind me like this, and I'm down here, and there's a wall right there, porcelain wall. We've got to cut a hole in it and cut the pipes and put this backflow preventer in. And so I'm down there working, and this fella's handing me tools and sand cloth and solder and all that stuff, you know. Well, there's a black lady laying on the table with a sheet over her. She's just been embalmed. And so I'm talking to her. Now, I'm here to tell you, she never did talk back. She never did.
The dead don't say anything. Amen? But I'm talking to her. I've got this monologue going, and I'm talking to her about her experience and her transition from this world to the next. And I'm just waxing eloquent. I'm just having the time of my life. This little colored boy is standing right here. He is petrified. But finally, after about 15 or 20 minutes of this dialogue, and this lady ain't moved, he leaned over and put his hand on the corner of the table like that. And he's just listening to me and my banter going back and forth. Well, I saw him put his hand down there and relax. I'm sitting right here in the middle of the table. And so I'm just talking away. And without saying a word, I'm just talking to her, and I just reach over like this and got her feet to stick it over the end, and I pushed her foot. And her head went this way. And her head touched that guy's hand. And I was alone. And job or no job, there was no way to get him back in there, son. I'm here to... That boy just absolutely disappeared on me. I'd do the whole thing by myself. But the whole time, that woman never said a word. You can talk to them till the cows come home. You can say insulting things. I mean, you can just be crass and crude, and they just lay there. I mean, if you'd have said some of them things to them while they was breathing, they'd have been up in arms. They'd have been furious. They'd have cussed you out and run you all over the neighborhood. But I tell you what, you can say anything you want to a dead person. If you've ever wanted to say some things and didn't quite have the courage, go down to the funeral home, find you a dead person. Set them up against the wall and tell them just like it is. They won't say a word. You can heap all the verbal abuse that you've ever wanted to spew forth from your mouth. You can do it to a dead person with no fear that they'll ever say a thing about it. I thought, Lord, dead folks remind me of Christians. Dead Christians. They don't say anything either. Amen. Here they are out here in the world. Who with a world that is dead in trespasses and sin, and we're supposed to be the possessors of life and have the words of life and the book of life, and we never say a word. We just like dead people. We have an opportunity. We could tell them about Jesus Christ. We could talk to them about their sin. Talk to them about life after death. Talk about the judgment to come. Tell them about the grace of God and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could tell them how He loved us and died for us. We could tell them all kind of stuff. But we must be dead because we never say a word. Just like them dead folk. You can't get one peep out of them. Now, sometimes I have seen them grunt. If you bump them or drop them or something, they'll grunt. And the only sound you get out of some dead Christians is a complaint. You say something wrong or talk about something they don't like and they get their feelings hurt and you can hear them groan. Amen? But it's the only sound you ever get out of dead people. The dead don't say anything. I'll tell you something else. The dead don't do anything. You go down to the funeral home and walk in there where they got a corpse all decked out and ready to go and try and get him to do something. I'll tell you the honest truth. Everything has to be done for a dead person. They just lay there. You can't get them excited. You can't get them engaged. You can't get them committed. You just can't get nothing out of a dead man. They're worthless. You might as well just bury them and be done with them. Amen? I mean, you're not going to get any productive work out of them. You're not going to get any thing of any benefit out of them. They're just dead and worthless. I thought, Lord, dead folks remind me of Christians. You know, you can always tell when a Christian's dead. They don't see anything. They don't hear anything. They don't say anything. And God knows they don't do anything. They show up at church on Sunday morning and maybe sometimes on Sunday night, but almost never on Wednesday. And they never get involved. They never get committed. They never carry any of the load. They don't clean the church. They don't cut the grass. They don't witness. They don't pass out tracts. They don't invite folks to church. They just don't do anything. They just dead as a hammer. Amen. I don't want to be a dead Christian. I don't want to spend whatever time it is I have left not doing anything for God. But dead folks don't see, dead folks don't say, dead folks don't do. You ever watch dead folks? Now, it doesn't take long to figure out everything a dead man's capable of. Nothing. That's what you're going to get out of them. Sometimes it don't take long to figure out what you're going to get out of some Christian. Say, why? They're dead. They're dead. There's no life in them. There's no energy in them. There's no go. There's no do. There's no say. They're just dead. The place to put dead folk in the grave. Y'all ought to be helping me out. This is a good message. The dead don't do anything. I'll tell you something else. I love this. The dead don't feel anything. You ought to see how they handle corpses when the family ain't around. It's kind of brutal. They just drag them around, bump them around, bang them around, and say, why? Well, they don't feel nothing. Yeah, them guys that do that stuff, you know, they get kind of cold and callous after a while. I know when the family's out there grieving and all that, you know, they're all sympathetic. And they all, I don't know why they always stand like this. But they always got that mournful look, you know, and like we understand and we're empathizing. We're there with you. But some, when they walk back there in the prep room or in the embalming room, they're laughing, joking, smoking cigarettes, chewing gum, and a dead body's, I mean, it's just like a dog as far as they're concerned. I'm exciting y'all about that, ain't I? Well, they're not going to treat me like that when I die. I tell you right now, when old Henry goes, I'm going to be right there and watch them sorry devils. Well, he ain't going to feel nothing. Don't worry about it. Amen? So long as he comes out looking good at the end. I like them guys that make them all come out looking like plastic mannequins, you know. And somebody go home and say, you know, didn't Mama look good? Mama looked like she was at peace. I really think I'd done a good job on her. Of course they did. That woman's the ugly son of bark hide behind the tree. Anything they did for her would have been an improvement. I go and look, you know, and they're talking about, oh, she looks so natural. I thought, what a shame. I'm being nice. There's nothing wrong with having a little fun, too, amen. But they talk about how good they look. And you go and look at them and say, it looks just like plastic. They got so much junk on their face. My mama never would have wore that color lipstick. My mama never had that much rouge on her face the longest day of her life. And where's all them craters in her skin? She had bad skin. Where's all that? I mean, they covered all. They look just, they're so slick and so smooth, they look man-made. And he's talking about, didn't she look natural? No, not in this lifetime, not in no next lifetime either. They say, the dead don't feel anything. Now, they bang them around, you know, it's a little rough. I mean, they just get used to it. But I thought one time, I was at a funeral up in North Carolina. An uncle of mine died. And I was doing investigative work for a message. And so I got in the viewing room after everybody had left. And I'm standing there and my uncle's laying there in the casket. And so I looked around to make sure nobody's watching. Then I looked around to make sure there wasn't any surveillance cameras. You got to look everywhere these days. And there wasn't nobody around. There wasn't no cameras that I could see. So I reached down and I took Unc by the hand. I looked again and went, I pinched him. I pinched him hard. I pinched him so hard my fingers hurt. Not a grimace. Not a groan. Nothing. I looked around, ain't nobody looking around. His hands laying there like that. And I went, Unc ain't moved. You know something? Unc was dead and he was beyond feeling. He felt absolutely nothing. Amen. I thought, Lord, a lot of Christians are just like dead folk. They don't feel anything. I don't care what you preach, nothing ever stirs them. Nothing ever brings a tear to their eye. Nothing ever makes them laugh. Some of them want to sit there like a zombie. I don't know why you want to do that. If you'd laugh more, I'd preach better. Amen? Only way I know I'm getting to you is if you laugh or cry. Well, I have had a couple get up and leave. I knew I got to them too. But the dead don't feel anything. No matter what's going on, if you burn them, they don't feel it. If you cut them, they don't feel it. If you slap them, they don't feel it. They just have no feeling whatsoever. And brother, you can get up and preach and preach and preach and preach on things that aren't to stir the emotion and rend you on the inside and get you all upset, and they just sit there. It don't bother them. You can talk about the world dying, going to hell. There's no tear in their eye. You can talk about a burden for the lost. No sadness, no sorrow, no compunction, no desire. They're just dead. They don't feel anything. They have no burden for the world. They have no feeling for anybody. What a tragedy. I don't want to live my life like a dead man. I want to feel something. But listen, the way you know you're alive is you can feel. And I've made sure that I knew I was alive every day of my life because I'm always feeling. My wife said, "You're the touchingest man in the world." I'm making sure I'm still breathing. And I'm making sure you're still breathing. I know I'm alive because I can feel something. Amen? And if you're saved by God's grace and you're alive in Jesus Christ, you ought to feel something for those that are lost. You ought to feel something for those that are hurt. You ought to feel something for those that are in trouble. You ought to feel something for those that don't know Jesus Christ and don't know they're going home to glory. Not only the dead don't see, the dead don't say, the dead don't do, the dead don't feel, the dead don't have any spirit. Now, spirit's what animates you. They say, the problem here is this football team doesn't have any spirit. They're talking about Clemson. The chicken got life. Amen. But they say a team doesn't have any spirit. Or we need some team spirit. And I listen to them morons from the Panthers. I hate to listen to professional athletes talk. God knows it's a shame. It's a poor endorsement for our educational institution when you listen to that bunch of morons try to talk in public. You know they got passed over because they can play football. Because they can't read or write. Amen, amen, and amen. They had some $30 million basketball player out there, and the guy was interviewing him, and he said something to him. And the guy said, "Well, we're gonna get out there and we're gonna play our own game, and we're gonna get things going our way, and if we can play our game, and we get things going our way, and then we're gonna go on our way." I said, "What did that fool say?" Something in the back of my head said that fool didn't say nothing. Need some spirit. Why not all our Christians got no spirit? They're just apathetic. They're just sitting back. They're taking a free ride. They're not going to put out any effort. They're not going to get involved. They're not going to get committed. It's like they're dead. You can't say anything to energize them. You can't say anything to motivate them. You say, why? They got no spirit. They come to church and sit there like zombies. They ought to call Sunday the day of the living dead. You go to a football game. Go to NASCAR. Listen. Somebody said one time about golf. Golf is 5 minutes of action packed into 4.5 hours. Amen. But I'll tell you the honest truth. You go to a golf game and they're cheering and carrying on. They got down to where they're almost, I mean, they're just wow at some of them golf programs anymore. Whee! I mean, they're just getting totally excited about that thing. And golfers have got more spirit than the average Christian. And guys go to them football games or whatever it is, and they shout and carry on and go up there half naked with green stuff all over their chest, holding up placards that spell out words, you know, uttering obscenities, drooling beer and dropping their hot dogs on everybody. It's freezing cold outside. They stand up there with no shirt on, you know, goosebumps all over their belly. And that's normal. You ought to see the fanatics. They come down to the church house, you can't get a holy grunt out of them. They ain't thrown their hand in the air in a year or 10 years. Amen? They ain't clapped their hands or shouted. They don't get emotional. They won't cry. They don't say, what's wrong with them? They got no spirit. If I came in here and preached like some of y'all listen and react, y'all say, we need us a new... One in the pulpit is dead. Dead. Got no life. Got no energy. Got no enthusiasm. Just filled with apathy. There's nothing to him. He's boring. So I'm trying to get another church. So why? No spirit in the pulpit. Y'all want the preacher to be animated and articulate. All that stuff, you know. To act semi-educated and somewhat intellectual. That church is right down the street. Y'all missed it. Y'all come to the wrong address. But you want some life. Amen? You want to hear a good message, but you honestly, you want to be entertained a little bit. You don't want to sit there and be so boring you go to sleep. You don't want to be so boring you feel like when you leave that there was no point in coming. You didn't get anything out of it. You want me to have enough life and liberty to engage you in what's going on. So you listen. So that hopefully down the road something good will come out of it and help you change your life. If I didn't have any spirit, you wouldn't be here. Well, I get sick and tired of coming and you ain't got no spirit. I want to preach to somebody that appreciates my animation and my articulation. Hey, man, I want y'all to have as much fun as I'm having. Now, I'm having a ball. I'm here to tell you something. I'm not dead. I'm alive. Ain't nobody going to come to King James Baptist Church and say, well, that preacher was dead. They may say he was rude, crude, obnoxious, socially unacceptable. That's fine. I got no problem. Just don't ever leave here and say, he's dead. I want you to know, bless God, the fellow in the pulpit is alive and he's got spirit. So we shall catch it. Not only that, the dead don't see, the dead don't say, the dead don't do, the dead don't feel, the dead don't have any spirit. You know what's a tragedy? The dead don't have any children. Procreation of the species is a function of the living. Amen. Somebody just name me anybody that had a young and after they were deceased. You say, preacher, that's stupid. Oh, I know it is. It's retarded. Dead folks don't have youngins. Dead folks don't do nothing. The dead don't have children. You say, well, that's so obvious. I know it's obvious. That's the reason I brought it up. I want you to see that it's obvious that dead folks don't have children, but living folks do. Now, you know, I'm all for the marital relationship and personal intimacy and all that for recreational purposes. And I think the Bible is in favor of recreational intimacy. I can prove that. But procreation of the species, the bearing of children, the offspring of the race, the propagation of our own species is also a function of marital intimacy. Amen? Married folks, as a rule, have kids. That's the norm. I mean, I know there's exceptions, but as a general rule, one of the results of marital union is offspring, to have children. And dead people never have any. Now, a lot of Christians must be dead. Say, why? They've never had any children. They've been saved, according to them, 6 months, 6 years, 60 years. And they've been in church, and, oh, I've been an independent Baptist, and I've been going to King James Baptist Church for, oh, let's say 15 years now, and, oh, yeah, it's a wonderful church, and we got a great little preacher, and we just love our little fellowship down there. How many folks, how many children have you birthed into the kingdom of God? How many people have you witnessed to and seen them saved by God's amazing grace? So, well, none. Well, maybe you're dead. Maybe you're spiritually dead. And your reproductive powers are gone because you're dead. And there's no life in you. Therefore, you can't give life to anybody else. You're just dead, dead, dead. If you're filled with life, you ought to pass that life along. Amen? Bless God, when I got saved, I got eternal life. And you know what I want ever since that day? I want to see other people get saved by God's grace. I want to see them born again. I want to see them have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not only do the dead not have any children, the dead don't have any blood. You know what they do down at the funeral home, don't you? They pump you out. They go down there and put you on that stainless steel table, and they pull you down so that your feet hang over the end. Actually, they pull it down so that the big muscle in the back of your ankle sticks over the end of the table. That's so they can get in there to them arteries and stuff down here. They're going to put one in this leg and put one in that leg. They're going to pump this junk in this side and circulate it through your body and flush all the blood out. One of the reasons they have to put so much makeup on you is because when they get through, there ain't nothing left in to give you any color. I mean, you talk about pasty. You look at one that just got flushed out. There ain't nothing in them to give any color anymore. I mean, they just look like chalk. That's why they got to hire somebody to come in there with a little rouge and makeup and foundation and blush and all that other stuff, you know. Women practice for dying their whole life long. They clean them all out and say, you go over there and you look at that corpse, you know, and you can pinch it or talk to it or do anything you want to. You can burn it. You can do anything. It has no spirit. It has no life. It has no feeling. It cannot talk. Say, why? Ain't no blood. The Bible said the life of the flesh is the blood thereof. Amen? When you take the blood out, you know they're dead. Amen? You might give them an artificial heart. You might give them an artificial kidney. You might have some kind of transplant. But son, when the blood is gone, you're dead. I mean, you're dead. And you're dead forever. Amen? They don't pump all your blood out and you come back. When that's gone, you're gone. Now, the dead don't have any blood, so they have no life. And I think the reason a lot of folks in independent fundamental Baptist churches don't have any life is because they don't have any blood. They never got washed in the blood of the Lamb. They just play in church. They just play in Christian. There ain't nothing real about it, son. I'm here to tell you, if you got life, you got blood. And if you got spiritual life, you got to get washed in the blood of the Lamb. You got to have the blood of Jesus Christ in your veins. He that hath the Son hath life. He washed us from our sins in His own blood. And buddy, when you get your dead and trespasses and sin, you get washed in the blood of the Lamb, God gives you life, you ought to manifest somebody with life. Somebody with life can hear. Somebody with life can see. Somebody with life can feel. Somebody with life can reproduce. Now, a living person may manifest one or so of those attributes, be lacking in something, but not all of them. You see, when you're missing all that stuff, when you can't hear, when you can't see, when you can't feel, when you can't have a spirit, when you don't, all those things, it's because you're dead. 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 It means you don't have any blood. What you need to do probably is get saved by God's grace and quit playing church. Get something that's real. Not only do the dead not have any blood, I'll close with this. The dead have a smell. You ever been around dead people? I've been around dead people for years and years and years. I was on the crash and smash team in the Navy for about 5 years down in Texas. Every time a plane would crash, our crew would go out and sift through the wreckage and pull all the pieces of the pilots together and dig them up out of the ground and try to reconstruct them just like they do the airplane. I've seen them tore up. I've seen them strung out for 100 yards through the tops of pine trees. We had a fella come in one night, got vertigo, rolled the airplane upside down, tried to land with the wheels in the air. Went right into the top of the pine trees, ripped the canopy off. He strapped in the seat, and it just the pine trees just grit and just ripped him apart and just strung him through the top of them trees. It's a terrible thing. You get around dead folks, you get around people who are dying or who have been dead for a little while, there's an odor. You ever notice every funeral home has got an odor? They try to cover it up with that cheap lilac stuff. Just makes it worse. I've been working in a funeral home last week in the embalming room. It's a brand new one down in Lancaster, South Carolina, and they've got this big machine up in the attic that's supposed to suck all the vapors and the fumes out of the embalming room. And I had to go down there and wire that thing up. It's a mess. I spent a whole day down there just running wires and stuff to get this thing to operate, just so that when they open somebody up, they can suck all them bad smells and stuff out of the room so it don't get through the rest of the mortuary. Because you don't want Mom and Daddy and the youngins coming in to see Uncle Charlie and you can smell Uncle Charlie. But I'm here to tell you, Uncle Charlie smells. My daughter's taking a course over at York Tech and they've been doing cats. And she came over tonight and she was so excited. She had kitty cat's guts in her hand and she was telling about how some of them were blue and some of them were supposed to be red and the dye didn't get through them and they were shriveled up and they couldn't identify them. And she was over here. I'm telling you what, bless God, you could smell her. She had the smell of dead all over her. I called her up the next day. I said, you robbed me of a night's sleep. She said, why? I said, I had that odor in my nose all night long and I couldn't get rid of it. You go in a house where somebody's about ready to pass away, they got that old death rattle in their throat, you know. That's a southern thing. They say, she got the death rattle. Yeah, I knew that before I heard the rattle. You can smell it. That old body starts shutting down and the liver and the kidneys start quitting. There's an odor. The dead stink. You know why we embalm them? To get rid of that blood, because that blood's what really stinks. There's a nasty odor to the flesh and the intestine, but boy, you leave the blood and it's nasty. And so we get that out of them so they don't stink so bad. Because the dead have an odor. You know, I said, Lord, dead folks are just like a lot of so-called Christians. I said, what's that? Dead and they stink. Amen? Some Christians are a bad odor in the nostrils of God Almighty. He said, I would that thou were hot or cold, but because thou art neither hot nor cold, but are lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. They just made God sick. Christians are supposed to be, according to the Bible, a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. That is, we're supposed to live our life. We're supposed to have enough spirit about us and enough life in us and enough burden in us and enough spirit about us and enough compassion in us. We're supposed to open our mouths. We're supposed to be able to see and do and talk. We're supposed to demonstrate to the world that we're alive spiritually.
That's what God's looking for. And when we don't, when we act like dead Christians, we're a foul stench in the nose of Almighty God. Say, well, preacher, I don't care what you say, I'm saved. I'm not trying to tell you you're saved or not. I'm just telling you that if you are, you fool a lot of people because you act the dead. You got that odor about you of deadness. You got no spirit for the things of God. You can go all week long, not read a Bible, not pray, not talk about God, but you know everything about the secular world and all that's going on out there. If you had a choice between a spiritual event and a secular event, you'd take the secular event because it's more fun. You're spiritually dead. Amen. There are a lot of so-called Christians in the South that are as dead as 4 o'clock. They got no blood, they got no spirit, they got no life, they can't see, they can't hear, they don't feel, and they won't do. They're just dead. You know what you ought to do with them? You ought to take them out and bury them. The cause of Christ would be better off sometimes if some so-called Christians would keep their mouth shut and not tell the world. Their life is so defiled, they're so unspiritual, they are so carnal, they're so involved in this world, they have so little spiritual life that they're like a corpse that is a stench on the church. Now the truth is, I don't know who's dead and who's alive. I don't know. I just know there's a lot of similarities. I bet you know. Yeah, I think some people know that they're just playing a game. They've adopted Christianity. They've adopted a religion. They play church. They go to church because it makes them feel good. They go to church because their friends are there. People go to church for all kinds of reasons. And it has nothing to do with being saved. And when they get there, there's no life in them. They never get into the ministry. They never get involved in the church. They never have a burden. They never have any passion. They never show any spirit. They don't see anything. They just go on week after week, month after month, and year after year, just like they always did. Say, why? Because they're dead. Just stone cold, spiritually dead. I want to be alive. I want to be alive. I want to live my life as a dead man. Let's bow our head. Father, we ask you now this morning. I know we had a little fun with the dead and a little humor and all that. But Lord, you know how serious the whole thing really is. Lord, you know better than I know that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in large measure, is dead.